Was Andre the Giant really a giant or just three kids in a skin suit?
Pick a side, stupid. Welcome to Pick a Side, Stupid, a comedy debate show that covers the important issues. Now, here's your host, Sean Carter.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, and thanks for joining us on Pick a Side, Stupid. I'm your host, Sean Carter, and I'm here this week with our special guest, Mike Dorval, a comedian in Boston.
Great to be here.
I just said comedian this time because
I know
of the last
we recorded this before, and he said something nice, and I said something self-deprecating. So he's like, "I don't need to waste being nice." So fuck it. Yeah, this is you're a comedian.
Yeah.
Okay, which I'm fine with. I think you made a solid decision. Think that's not me supporting that call.
I'm not going to argue with you over how good you are.
See, I need to be more heel.
Yeah, exactly.
I need a good heel turner. I'm like, good comedian. How about the best comedian you've
right.
met?
You gotta amp it up a little
bit. Yeah, yeah.
You gotta get cocky.
Yeah, go full flare.
All right, so in the simplest terms possible, for those listening that don't know, what is a heel in wrestling?
A heel is the bad guy.
Okay.
A heel is the guy that you root against. Heel is the villain. It's Ric Flair. It's Roddy Piper. It's Andre after he turned on Hogan. The heel is the guy who cheats. The heel is the guy who insults the fans. The heel is the guy the fans are buying tickets to see defeated.
Okay.
That's what the heel is.
So as much as you got these good guys, the faces, these very popular guys, the ones that really sell tickets are probably the heels, right?
I think so, yeah. I mean, because people buy and they want to see the champion do well. I mean, now Hogan, when he was a face, and when he was a huge face, people were coming out to see Hogan.
Yeah.
But you had to see Hogan beat something.
Right.
I mean, they both. You need them both. You need both sides.
Right, right.
I think you can have a great heel and a good face and sell a ton of tickets. I don't think you can have a great face without at least a really good heel.
Sure.
A really good heel has to be there to sell. He's got to put the champion over. You've got to really think that that guy is in danger. If that's not there, it doesn't work. You think the heel's kind of always in danger because they always make whatever face they're in the ring with look pretty good.
Right. Yeah.
You know, a really good heel like Flair. You know, Flair would make the worst jobber in the world look like he had a chance at winning that match. That guy's got a chance.
So you would say that, in your opinion, Ric Flair was the greatest heel of
in
all
my
time.
Opinion, yeah. I think heel, the epitome of what a heel should be, because you hated him and you loved hating him.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to hate him. It was never that feeling of, like when Sergeant Slaughter turned heel, because he became an Iraqi sympathizer. That wasn't fun. You just wanted to see him get defeated, and then you were happy when he was gone. There was no part of you that missed that period. Like, you were really happy he got his comeuppance, but you're like, get the hell out of here. But anytime they tried to get Flair out of the spotlight, you missed him. You really missed him. He was perfect. You really enjoyed hating him. There was something fun about him. There was something you kind of wished you could be about him. There was something really appealing about Flair, even at his most hateful.
Sure. So Ric Flair, always a heel?
No, not always a heel. I mean, he wrestled at different times, you know, when he was coming up. He was, you know, not a huge star, and he was a big brawler at first, and then he broke his back and got in shape. They did a great documentary about him. It wasn't a perfect documentary, but it was fun. And then at different times after he was huge, they would try to have him be a face for a little while for just, you know, they needed it because of who they had in the roster.
Sure.
And he would do it, but it was never something you wanted to see last for a long time.
Yeah.
Because it was more fun to root against him. It's just more fun. Like, you know, J.R. Ewing, you want to see him doing dastardly stuff. Like, you know, it's nice. Well, look at J.R. He's doing these nice things for charity now. Well, that's not going to be a lot of episodes that I'm going to watch.
Wait, J.R. is...
J.R. Ewing from Dallas. I'm dating myself huge with that reference. But yeah.
I was like, I don't know what's happening right now. Like, where is this podcast?
Oh, this is going to appeal to all the young people. The people who really tune into podcasts, like the, you know, the 50-year-old women who are really into J.R. Ewing, you're going to totally get what I'm
talking
about. From
the TV show Dallas. Yes.
But here's the thing. A great heel has got to be fun. He's got to be fun. You've
right.
got to there's got to be a part of you that enjoys listening to him. You know, it can't be someone that is so hateful and so detestable that you turn off the TV when you're listening to
right.
him. You want to stay for his interview. That's what made Piper really good. As odious as he was funny. You liked listening to him. He was interesting the whole time.
What about, and I don't remember a ton about wrestling, but when I was a kid, there was a guy, probably well known enough, mm-hmm. named Jake the Snake.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Was he a heel? Was he supposed to be a face?
He was a heel most of the time. They turned him face and it didn't totally work, so they had to turn him heel again.
Okay.
Guys who were great heels usually didn't make great faces.
Okay.
Which is one of the reasons that you got to tip your hat to Hogan, because he did both of them unbelievably well. When Hogan turned heel, he was fantastic. Jake Roberts was a fantastic heel. They had him turn face because people were so into him for a while. They're like, well, let's try having him be a face. And it didn't work.
Sure, nobody wants a face to have a snake with them. Nobody's like, yeah, bring your giant snake over here.
Right?
I want it to like just slither all over me.
Yeah, it was really weird. And you know, it's like, dude, your pet's name is Damien. You're not the good guy. I'm sorry. Like, maybe you could be an anti-hero. We can enjoy it. And he was great on the mic. He was great psychologically, but you wanted to see him get into a face's head.
Yeah.
That was fun. Wasn't fun to watch him be a face.
Sure.
The guys that could do both well, really impressive. He was not one of them.
So outside of Ric Flair, mm-hmm. who else would be one of the top heels that, in your opinion?
Yeah, Piper was an amazing heel.
Roddy Piper, that's right. He was like a movie star, though, too.
Star is a big word. he did one John Carpenter movie that did pretty well.
He was a movie star.
So you can call that a movie star. I mean, it's better than we're doing.
We've never been a movie.
But not like, you know, especially now that you see, like, The Rock, where that's a movie star.
Dwayne Johnson,
guy making billions
yeah.
as the lead above the title
right.
star of the movie.
He is a movie star
yeah.
at this point, for sure.
So name me Roddy Piper's second movie, and I'll call him a superstar. name me number two.
Roddy Piper was, I have no idea.
No, you don't. Was so he did a couple of movies.
Red Dawn? Was he in Red Dawn?
He was not in Red Dawn.
Okay.
Not in Red Dawn.
What about that
Unless
movie
he did
the
reboot that no one saw.
What was that movie with the two big truckers? They must have been wrestlers.
The movie with the two big truckers.
Think Big or something like that?
I think you're making up a movie
right
now.
No, man. They would like wish on this chicken bone before uh-huh. they started their truck. And they had like this girl. It was weird. They had like this girl that traveled with them. She was like very young. Strange. Thinking of it, that was a weird movie.
All right. I guess this could be a thing.
Over
the Top?
No. Over the Top was Sylvester Stallone.
Yes.
He's arm wrestling and he's teaching his kid valuable lessons
right.
while the grandfather tries to steal the
Which
kid
Which doesn't
back.
Happen in a truck enough.
No.
Yeah.
There's not enough trucker movies.
There really aren't.
But this one, I think it was called Think Big. I'm going to look it up and I'm going to get back to you about this. But I believe these guys must have been wrestlers. They were huge guys and they were truckers together and they had this unreliable truck and they would wish on a chicken bone and they had a song for it. Somebody listening to this will know what I'm talking about.
Where's Ken Reed when you really need him?
Ken Reed, seriously. I guarantee knows this movie. I guarantee it.
I believe you.
But yeah, all right.
Yeah, Piper was probably the second best heel, I think. And he was that notch down because he wasn't as good in the ring as Flair was.
Sure. Shawn Michaels was part of a tag team.
Yep, the Rockers.
The Rockers, and he...
Big heel turn.
He turned on his partner.
Turned
in
on
an
his
interview,
partner, Marty Jannetty, and the barber shop.
In the
barber shop. Barber Beefcake.
That's right.
It looked like they were going to be good. He said, yeah, we're fine. Everyone was cheering, and then he super kicked him through the plate glass window. It was fantastic.
He kicked his partner.
Super kicked his partner.
So, to the face.
Yes.
Through a plate glass window.
Yep.
And people didn't see that coming.
You knew it was coming.
Okay.
You knew it was coming. So, I mean, they had been foreshadowing that for a while,
okay.
the breakup that was coming on.
I mean, when I watched it, I listened to the announcers that are talking through.
Yeah.
And this is probably from watching these videos people mm-hmm. have been sending me. Probably my favorite thing about wrestling is mm-hmm. the announcers.
They're great.
Being like, I don't know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
You know exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, great announcers.
And just like saying things that mm-hmm. like clearly are not true and getting so the excitement in their voices.
Yep.
It's like, how do you do that for
and then
something?
You have the heel announcer and the face announcer.
Yeah.
I mean, the heel announcer is a hugely important role. When you don't have a good heel announcer, it doesn't work.
So what does a heel announcer do?
I mean, a heel announcer is the guy who roots for the heels. You know, a lot of times it's a former wrestler. Like, the first really great heel announcer that I remember, it used to be that they, you know, the announcers were more just announcers. They would have one announcer call the match. They didn't have a color guy. Jesse the Body Ventura, Governor, was the first really great heel announcer that I remember, where he would just talk about, you do what you got to do, McMahon. It's war in the ring. You do what you have to do. And he openly rooted for the bad guys and hated the faces and also was vaguely racist. Okay. Yeah, it wasn't good.
And he's a governor.
It was a dark time. And then he became the governor.
Is he governor now?
No, he was one term.
But he was a governor.
He was the governor of Minnesota.
Another movie star, Jesse Ventura.
Yep. A bigger movie star than Roddy. They actually did a TV show that didn't go anywhere. They did a pilot.
For Jesse Ventura?
It was Jesse Ventura and Roddy Piper. They played, it was a show called Tag Team, and they were former wrestlers who became policemen.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a weird idea for
and
a show.
And it did not work.
Yeah. Okay. So another thing that I want to touch on.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon is the owner or main stakeholder, I guess.
Yeah, he's the owner. He's the main shareholder of WWE. Yeah, and he's the CEO.
And he's been in the ring.
Yep.
He's wrestled.
Yeah. And but he's not a wrestler.
He's not a wrestler, but he has wrestled.
He has gotten in the ring.
And he's a big guy. He looks like a wrestler. Yeah.
I mean, any on-camera talent at some point gets in the ring. Something happens and you get in the ring.
Sure.
All of them have.
But I just, when I watched
He's a big dude.
When I saw this, loosely following wrestling, not being a real fan or anything. Yep. When I saw this, I thought this was a gimmick. This was not a real, this wasn't a guy that really owned anything. This is, he's playing a part.
He's the owner, man. And he bought it from his father, Vince Sr. And I mean, he's the guy responsible for wrestling as we've known it for the last 30 years. Wow. He changed wrestling completely. He said, I'm going to go national. Before that, it was all territories. He had the Northeast Territory. And he said, I'm not respecting the old territorial system anymore. I'm going national. And cable helped him do that. And he was a visionary. And he bought, and he took a huge risk. He bought that from his dad. And if he missed even one payment, his dad got the whole company back.
Wow.
Yeah. And they bet their whole lives on the first WrestleMania. They mortgaged themselves to the hilt to make the first WrestleMania happen. They went in debt, and luckily they made a fortune off of it from the closed circuit viewings.
So Vince McMahon, he took this thing national and had been a regional thing. Every region had its own sort of wrestling association.
And that was why the heel was so important. Because the NWA was basically made up of all these little territories. You had the Texas territory, you had the Carolinas, you had St. Louis territory, you had San Francisco, LA, you know.
Sure.
So sometimes it was states, sometimes a bunch of states. Sometimes if the city was big enough, it was just a city. Mm-hmm. But all of those territories had a champion, and they were usually faces. And so the NWA champion was usually a heel because you wanted the heel to come in and make your face look great and really believe that your guy, like Kerry Von Erich, was actually going to win the championship this time, and then they'd lose. And Flair would always get out of there with a title, and you'd be mad, and you'd be like, oh, my God, my guy should have won. Oh, and but you're going to pay to see it again.
Yeah.
You're paying because your guy almost won, and maybe next time he's going to win. And then they'd let somebody win, and then Flair would win the championship back. And that's what they did, because sometimes you had to have Flair lose.
Yeah.
So that somebody else would hold the title for a little while, and then Flair would get the belt back, and it would all start over again.
So Ric Flair must have won so many championships.
Oh, yeah.
Or maintained the championship for so long.
I think he, by some count, he won 20 world championships.
Wow.
Yeah. At the time I was a fan, it was like he was 7 or 8-time world champion. And then title changes just started happening more and more. So it became, you know, there are a ton of guys now that won the title like double-digit times.
Yeah.
But back in the day, it was a huge deal that he had won. You know, he was the first guy to win the title like 8 times.
Yeah. So, and Ric Flair would still, he still comes out as an old guy into the ring.
In a very sad way.
In a very sad way.
Oh, life has turned heel on Flair.
People go nuts for it. They love it. People love Ric Flair.
They still love it, but no one wants to see him wrestle anymore. I mean, you kind of
do. You don't
want
to see him wrestle.
Yeah, but he has to. So you go out and you see him, and people love him. And that ESPN documentary got huge ratings.
I'm just talking about him getting on a mic.
Yeah, he's great. He's still great.
Yeah, but wrestling, I mean, I don't want to see the guy die.
No, it's a bummer.
You know? He's made it pretty far for a professional wrestler.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know.
Short lives of wrestlers, yeah.
So congrats on that, Ric Flair, if you're listening.
I mean, I guess that's an argument for not saving your money. You know, as much as we get on Flair because he doesn't have any money left, and that's why he has to wrestle. But he had every reason to believe he was not going to need that money when he was 68.
Right.
You know?
I'm going to live to be 68.
Right?
Yeah, I'm going to jump off this cage right now.
Let's do it.
Into another person. I don't need money. Yeah, okay. Have you thought of a question for the debate yet? Where
I've thought of a few. It's funny because I haven't gone to the show that many times. I went to that one time, and it was really fun.
You came, you did the U.S. cities yep. debate, and you won a bunch of them. You were great on that show.
It was fun.
People yeah. are talking about you. I see people that have come to a bunch of shows. They've seen you once, and they're like, that guy Mike Dorval, when's he coming back? And the answer is this week.
This week. Come on out, everybody.
Yeah.
That was really fun. I'd never been to the show before, so that was a really cool concept, and I liked it a lot. But I'm not totally sure, like, how specific it's supposed to be, because I think, like, part of me would like to debate, all right, what really makes a great heel? But is that too open-ended?
Is there something we have to take one specific side of,
yeah. like, I think Ric Flair is the greatest heel to ever walk the face of the earth. And somebody else has to take the other side and debate why he was not the greatest heel to walk the face of the earth.
Yes, and more specifically, in fact, mm-hmm. you can give them a heel yeah. that they have to argue for.
Okay.
Like, you could be like, yeah. I think Ric Flair is the best mm-hmm. heel. You're going to tell yeah. me that this person's mm-hmm. the best heel.
Okay. Could it be, like, heels make the best world champions, and you have to say faces make the best world champions?
Sure, yeah.
So that could be it. Do you want to do that?
Yeah, that could be the question.
All right.
If you want to go with that, then we're going to make the last question of the debate.
Yep.
Which makes the best world champion, a face or a heel? And you're going to take heel.
I'll take heel. Yes.
Okay.
I will take heel.
And somebody's going to try and convince the crowd that a face makes the better
yep.
champion. And then it might end with me getting hit with a chair. I don't know. We'll
see. That would be good. Chairs don't really hurt. That's why you see them used so much.
If
you do it right,
chair.
It doesn't hurt.
Right on the back?
It's fine.
You got broad shoulders.
Face
on your back?
You got a thick beard. If we hit you right in the beard, I think you'll be fine.
Right. Well, if you're listening to this podcast, if you're listening to the debate segment of it, and it gets to the end and there's a ruckus, just know that something weird happened. I'm probably hit with a chair or, you know, whatever. We already told Bill McMorrow and Sean Reza that they're not invited. I expect some shenanigans out of them.
Are they really banned? Well, can they come?
We did wrestling.
Is it like a fake ban where they just have to wear a mask and come and pretend that they're somebody else?
So we did a wrestling debate once before.
Okay.
And Sean Reza was judging it that night.
Okay.
And at the end of the night, he was like, all right, neither of you win, I'm leaving. And he took the trophy and walked out. Because he had a trophy at that point.
Right.
And so we'll see what happens.
If he does go classic wrestling, he will come in a mask.
Right.
That's what you do. When you get banned, when you do lose a loser leaves town match, you come back and you pretend that you are somebody else.
Okay.
That's who he does. Oh. So yeah, that's what you do.
The other night, Bill McMorrow was telling me that he was texting people looking for a luchador mask.
That's exactly why he was doing that.
Okay.
Because that's the history of wrestling. I would respect the hell out of that if he does that.
Well, let's see what happens. If there's a giant amount of applause and you guys can't see what's happening, it might be that one of those guys just showed up in a luchador mask.
I can't decide if this was the best topic or the worst topic for me to pick. I gave you a few.
We'll find out tomorrow night. There's a lot of comics that are in
these
wrestling.
Guys. Oh, I didn't know how many they were.
It's gonna be. Yeah,
I thought I was coming in here with a pretty good base of knowledge. I'm like, I'm outclassed.
Whew. These people love wrestling.
Yeah,
it's gonna be fun.
Nice.
So, okay, thanks for joining me for the podcast, and
we're gonna
get into the debate. And well, guys, listen to Mike Dorval's Bombing with Mike Dorval on iTunes. It's still out there.
It's still out there. Listen to it.
And you can pick up a few
like
more
the page. I still like Facebook Live stuff and talk to people. So yeah, there's like
there's plenty of back log to get through if you're listening.
There is. Yeah, there's a year's worth of episodes.
Yeah,
it's over 50. So there's plenty to listen to.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Sean. Okay.
All right. Sweet. So this week we will be talking about wrestling. I'm winded now. It's too much for me. I was like, I think I'm going to pass out during this. You guys are referencing a thing I don't know about right now. Oh, good. We're off the rails already. This is perfect. So everybody knows Bill McMahon and Sean Rosa have been banned from this event tonight. They will not be here. So don't wait for it. I don't know a ton about wrestling, but I do enjoy running this show. So let's do it. I watch a bunch of things. You guys sent me a bunch of videos of wrestling, and I watched them. I did. I took the time to watch this shit. And one of the things that I learned that I did not know about, Mike Dorval taught me about this last night as we talked about it on the podcast. Mike Dorval's here tonight, guys. Yes. He's our special guest. Yes. 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 Yeah. Yes. So Mike Dorval taught me this last night, which I did not realize, but there's like, with the announcers, the commentators outside of the ring, there's like good guy and bad guy announcers, which I did not realize. And then I watched a video that somebody sent me, and like somebody got kicked through a window. And one announcer was like, oh my God, what's he doing? And the other one was like, well, he shouldn't have stood so close to the window. And I was like, holy shit, Mike's right. And then I was like, I think I'm going to start watching wrestling now. Now that I can appreciate it on a higher level. Okay, so here's how this works tonight. Two people will come to the stage. They'll get a question. The person that goes first gets to decide which side of the debate they're on. They got to be clear about which side they're on. If you are unclear, you will lose automatically. Then the person that goes second has to argue the opposite side no matter what, whether they like it or not. Okay? Each person gets 1 minute the first time and then a 30-second rebuttal afterwards. All right? So each one of these should take 3 minutes. I am the judge. I will decide who wins and loses each one of these rounds. When you agree with my decision, I would like for you to cheer. Give that a shot right now. All right. And when you disagree with my decision, I want you to boo. Give that a shot. Yeah, really let me have it. All right. Okay, so we're going to have 8 people in a gauntlet style. Just keep coming up here. Winner stays up here. And then we're going to have a bracket after that, where people go head-to-head and then get to sit down for a little while, come up against somebody in the next round. And then, as our final debate of the night, we will have Mike Dorval against whoever lasted till the end. You guys ready for this? Okay. Our first debaters of the evening, everybody please welcome Ben Davis and James Downing. Next up, everybody, please welcome Chloe Kuna and AJ Glagolev. Okay, Chloe, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
All right. AJ, your question is from Timothy Joseph. He asks, least favorable gig, bodyguard for the $1 million man, or just being Doink the Clown?
I'm going to go bodyguard for the $1 million man. I think everybody's out to get the $1 million man, and everybody loves Doink the Clown. He's a clown. Everybody loves Doink the Clown. The $1 million man, he's got a bounty on him all the time. It always, that's how you get to be worth $1 million. It's a bounty.
I'm going to go with Doink the Clown because everybody loves Doink the Clown. Except for Doink the Clown.
With a good therapist, I think Doink the Clown can overcome his personal issues with himself. The $1 million man, no therapist can fix that.
Doink the Clown has tried so many therapists. They all think he's so cute. They don't see the torment that lives inside of Doink the Clown. It's a lonely existence.
All right, I gotta hand the win to Chloe Kuna. All right. You know what? Next up, please welcome Tyler Morrow and JJ Buckland. Okay, JJ, do you want to go first or second? Okay. Tyler, your question is from Zach Jones.
Zach Jones!
He asks, what's the better day job for a professional wrestler? Prison guard or porn star?
Porn star sounds like a lovely job, but I'm going to go with prison guard because you get constant practice all day long, I feel like. You know, you can even like rattle cells, like work out like your entertainment side of it. Be like, you're a piece of shit, then open it up, and then let's go. You know, you can do handicap matches, open two cells at once. You can do all that stuff. You know, you're not gonna get that in porn. I mean, even if it's gay porn, you're just not gonna get that. It's not gonna happen. It's not gonna. You can try, but it's not gonna be competitive enough. I'm sorry. What you're missing, sir, is that if you're a wrestler and your day job is a porn star, it can also be your night job as a wrestler. I'm sort of talking to the wrestling fans in the room. If we remember Val Venus,
Hello, ladies.
He would call himself the Big Val Boski and talk about jackhammering his opponents. Making a lot of allusions to fucking is actually what he did, and I think that would be a great little a nice little segue from your day job into your night job to not have to change at all. You plow during the day, you plow at night. Plow the girls during the day, plow your opponent at night. Right there in the card, settle in the bed, settle in the ring.
I don't think he ever actually fucked anyone though. did he? I watched a lot of wrestling when I was a kid, but I don't remember Val Venus fucking The Rock. I don't remember it. But what's here's the thing. If you fuck all day, you lose your testosterone, you can't fight as well. That's not funny, but that's a good point, okay?
Wrestling is a mind game, and if you fuck during the day, you clear your head. You'll be more on the ball in the ring. Oh, I didn't even fucking mean to do that pun. That's lowbrow, guys. Oh, geez, clear head too. You're right. Give it to this guy. I'll answer this honestly because I don't find wrestling to be a joke. Like these conquistadors, Bill and his buddy, you come up here. Good God.
Time. All right, here the way to Tyler Morrow. Next up, everyone, please welcome Zach Jones and Ryan Chaney. Zach, do you want to go first or second?
Second?
Okay. Your question is from...
Zach Jones.
Kyle Mangan. He asks, what's the better wrestling gimmick? The tax man, Irwin R. Scheister, or the garbage man, Duke the Dumpster, whatever his name is?
That was a mutter. Rosie, was it?
Drozy.
Okay, well, I'm going to go trash man anyway. Relatable to culture. Everyone knows that they just... give him all the garbage they want, which is their enemies in the ring. He's going to take that fucking trash out and throw it into the world, and we can all shit on it and do whatever we want. It's also going to destroy the world. That's how trash works. But that's a different part of it. He's taken what we don't want, bringing it out of the ring, giving it to the audience potentially, and they'll fucking just eat it up like the rats that they are. That went into a weird spot. But trash is more relatable. Everyone hates fucking tax guys. Everyone after tax season doesn't want to think about it until the next year, but garbage, we think about it weekly.
Yeah, everybody hates taxes. That's why taxes are the ultimate heel move. It's the ultimate heel move to make people pay their taxes, especially in the ring, in front of everybody, in front of a sold-out crowd at Madison Square Garden. You're going to go there. You're going to fill out your 1099s, and you're going to fill out those W-2s, and you're going to get them all done. And guess what, Mr. Trashman? You are paid by municipal taxes. So if I don't get this done, you don't have a job, my friend.
I will not face that energy. I'll try to fight it with points. Exactly. Taxman comes around once a year. We don't want to think about him. And in turn, why would we ever want to have him in the ring with it, too? So I'm giving you the heel part. Let's see here. Oh, there we go. Tax season, we don't want to think about it ever again, so it's never going to be something that we want to have happen. Garbage man will come in, take your tax... I'm not going to even try to make
it. Time. Yeah, you don't want me there, but I'm there, all right. And I'm going to take some from you. And I'm going to take some from you and some from you. And you know what I'm going to do with that money? I'm going to deal with the fact that healthcare has to be heavily subsidized for wrestlers because the WWE doesn't pay them correctly or give them insurance.
Well, Ryan, you made a lot of good points, but Zach was very loud. I'm going to hand the win to Zach. Next up, please welcome Chloe Kuna and Rick Canavan.
Sorry to say, Chloe had to leave.
Chloe, do you want to go first or second?
Pierre always comes second.
Okay. Okay, Rick, your question is from Zach Jones. He asks, which place where a wrestler was billed from would you rather visit? Bad Street, USA, or Parts Unknown?
All right, so I didn't want to spoil this for you guys earlier, but I actually knew that Bill and Sean were going to be here tonight because I read it on Cage Side Seats. Dave Metzer had reported that they have been spotted in Weymouth, so we knew. I don't know. I'll take Bad Street. Sure.
Chloe cannot remain. Is I, Pierre, her cousin from France. I will say, in her said, that I prefer the parts unknown. Because so many parts of the world are already known to me. Including all the parts of the ladies. And the parts of the men. Because Pierre is bisexual. And open for business.
All right, so I'm just going to real quick surmise that, number one, I'm still kind of upset from my last debate where my opponent made fun of my Irish butt. So between that and me not wanting to deprive the room of the next round of this... I'm going to get counted out. Thanks, everyone.
Hey, the winner is Chloe's cousin here.
Rick? If it is any consolation, Rick, I think your Irish butt is very nice.
You deserve it.
All right, that's Chloe. That's Chloe's cousin, not Chloe. Sorry, my bad. Okay. Next up, everybody, please welcome Gloria Rose and Jim Whitman. Gloria, do you want to go first or second? Second, okay.
It's a callback.
No, Bill, we don't need you. Thank you, though. You're banned forever. Okay. Jim, your question is from Kyle Mangan. He asks, what's the more impressive occupation after being a wrestler? A Fox News financial analyst or the Tooth Fairy?
This is post-wrestling career.
Post-wrestling career, yes.
All right. I'm gonna go Fox News analyst.
Financial analyst.
I was a king of the ring, and I'm gonna be king of the stock ring TV thing. I lived in the limelight, I'll die in the limelight. The Tooth Fairy, takes, and what the Fox analyst, financial analyst does is give. Much like a wrestler showing his pecs, he gives of his body, and I will give of my mind and of sound financial investment opportunities. Yeah. Analyst.
Seriously, you are all blooming tonight. Oh my God, spring has sprung. All right. Tooth Fairy for sure, though, because, like, you're doing a public... Like, you say they take, but they also... They give coins or dollar bills, depending on where you're living. And I feel like if you're going to be a Fox News financial analyst after being a wrestler, that's just going from, like, one fake thing to another, right? All right, thank you.
So fake, it took us to the White House.
Yep.
All right, I gotta hear the win to Jim Whitman. All right, this is all going on the podcast. Next up, everybody, please welcome Tyler Morrow and Kevin Harrington. Okay. Kevin, do you want to go first or second? Second, okay. Tyler, your question is from Kyle Mangan. He asks, what is more likely to be the next big heel gimmick? The gentrifier? Or, sorry, that was too much of a Boston accent. The gentrifier? Or the feminazi?
Oh, man. Either way, I'm going to be offensive. God damn it. Whew. All right, I'll look around the room. All right, I'll go with gentrifier? Yeah, all right. I'm just glad to be here. I haven't pretended to be a character at all, and I've gotten this far, so I'm happy. I'm doing good. I like gentrifier. I live in East Boston, so I am a gentrifier, and I can identify with it. I get it. It's not great. It's not. I feel guilty every day. But I feel like I'd be a good character. You know, I could kick someone or whatever they do, and then I'd be like, I'm gonna get your view of the city now. Ha ha. Yeah. Close that Mexican restaurant and make it a Starbucks. See, that's how I got this far, was not doing this stuff, but.
The next big thing is the gentrifier. We live in a world where Donald Trump has already been on WWE. Vince McMahon has a seat at the fucking cabinet. We are living in a world where gentrifiers are everywhere. That is old news. I want to talk about the real danger to the patriarchy, which is me. As the king of the heels, there's only one thing I fear. It's a woman who speaks her mind. Who knows that she deserves an equal place at the table. Who knows that she has the strength to break through that glass ceiling and get a dollar for a dollar. There is only one thing the king of heels fears, and that's the feminazi. And that's why I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to find everyone, and I'm going to buy them all. Lock it down. I'm going to have a whole stable of feminazis all around
time.
Me. Because I am what? The king of the heels.
Time.
Yeah, that's the character stuff I'm supposed to do. shit. I don't get that much energy. But Vince McMahon and Trump, they're definitely gentrifiers, and I get that. But they do it secretly. I'm going to do it out in the open, you know. I'm gonna buy a portion of Brooklyn, and then I'm going to show my tax documents. That's what I'm going to do. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be nuts. Yeah, man, this is going bad.
Time.
I lay awake at night, clutching all my money and all of my pictures of Burt Reynolds to protect me from feminazis. Just by thinking about them and maybe misspeaking now, they're waiting to get me. They're going to get all of you. And when they come for you, brother, man, you're going to wish you got gentrified, because at least you could sleep with a brother in a house and split
time.
The rent.
All right, I got to hand the win to the king of the heels, Kevin Harrington. Kevin, you can stay up here. All right. We're to an end now. We have our special guest this evening. Everybody, please welcome Mike Dorval. Mike, do you want to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Okay. So, here's a twist you didn't see coming, Kevin.
Oh, shit.
You don't get to pick your side, even though you're going first. I'm telling you which side you're arguing.
Did I just get screwed in Montreal? That never happens to the king of the heels.
So,
son of a bitch.
Your question is, who makes a better champion, a babyface or a heel? And you are going to say a babyface.
As the king of the heel and the most attractive man or woman or entity in this fucking room, I have to say, to be a winner does not mean you're good or you're bad. It means you're a champion. And beauty is rained down from the gods on winners. Everyone that wins is beautiful. Tom Brady, Lucifer, Trump, me. What do we have in common? Beautiful! We came out of our mother's wombs like radiant evil beams of golden light, which was this. Baby faces become heels. Heels are winners.
I feel like I'm starting off in an advantage since you essentially just made my argument for me, so thank you so much for that. By the way, not to get too much cheap heat, but aim a little higher than to be the most attractive person in this room. How are you, everybody?
Great to be here. That's why you want a heel champion. That's what draws the heat. I think I can comfortably say a lot of people consider me one of the nicer comedians in Boston. Look how I fucking draw. You need heat. Heat champions, heel champions have drawn since the days of the carnies for 120 fucking years. There was a brief period in the 80s where Hogan was a face champion, and you know what no one wants to admit? It blew. It was awful. WrestleMania 1 wasn't even a title match because he needed Cyndi Lauper to put him over, the pussy. The only reason they had anything was because they had production values, and TBS was filming in a room that looked shittier than this. Going after Maggie's. Hell yeah. You turn on your cell phone and start filming this, and it looks better than TBS Saturday Night every week of the 80s. Heels carried the business, and it will carry us into the future.
Progress requires sacrifice. I want to talk about the ultimate baby face, Jesus H. Christ. His father was the king of the heels. His father said, I'm going to squirt this little worm out, lay him down, nail him to a tree, and that's called branding. It's called marketing. I'm a styling, profiling, muff diving, astro gliding, badder than Scott Weiland, king of the heels. And you know this is the champion tonight, not this guy.
If we agree that Christ was the ultimate face, how did he do in his biggest match? I'm sorry, came up shorter than Roman Reigns. Sorry, JC. But the Romans continued to rule for another 1,000 years because champions endure. Thank you.
All right, I hear the wind, Jew.
I got a poster.
Yes, yes, yes,
yes,
yes,
yes,
yes. Hey, everybody, thanks for coming to the show. Give it up for Mike. Give it up for Kevin. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you for coming. Please listen to the podcast, rate, subscribe, all that stuff. Tell your friends about it. We'll be back here again next Friday at Maggie's Lounge, 7 p.m. We're talking about wildlife, and we've got Andrew Mayer as our special guest. It's going to be a lot of fun, so we'll see you then. Good night.
That was Pick a Side, Stupid. If you liked what you heard, please rate, review, and subscribe to the show.
Well, if you didn't come to the show this week, then you missed out on people coming in masks, changing their names, pretending to be other people. Some people fake rushing the stage with chairs. It was chaos, and I did my best to put that into audio form without going too far off the rails. But the good news is, if you missed this week's show, you can come to next week's show or the week after. We're at Maggie's Lounge at 7 p.m. every Friday. There's comedy at Maggie's Lounge at 7 p.m. So come out sometime, have a beer, have a pizza, hang out, cheer on some comics, boo me when I get the decision wrong. And before going, I want to give a thank you to Jay Baggett for drawing up the artwork this week. You can check her out on Instagram at jbags. And thanks to Mike Dorval for being our special guest this week.
Rate us on iTunes.